enthusiastic. Wants to play the harmonium now. September 11th. Today's September 11th. It's not September 11th today.
October
11th. Prabhupada arrived September 11th. 1 month ago. Yeah, September 11th, Prabhupada arrived in London. 40 years ago. Of course, this is a very special year for London. Some of you are from London. Some of you. Gokulani, we were together in London for many years. This is the 40th year of Prabhupada setting foot in London on September 11th. Ironic day. Extraordinary experiences. And it's also the 40th year of Radha Londoneshwar's installation, which is next month, end of November. Are you going? So many things. This year is also the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas. There's a difference of opinion whether it was last January or next January. Statements are not quite clear. Some celebrated last January, most are celebrating next January. We're apparently celebrating next January. I don't know what arrangements are being made. It's quite a big event. You know, it happens once on the day of Lord Brahma, the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. So it's quite a year. A big year. September 11th. October 11th. Is that October 11th? Pardon? Pardon? Oh, but you said October 11th. Was it October 11th? Pardon? Huh? Were you? September 11th. That's what I thought. Yeah. I may be wrong. I think it was September 11th. You remember we mentioned that to the devotees in London because they had a big Harinam on September 11th to honour that event. So whatever it is, Prabhupada arrived 40 years ago this year in London. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. What verse are we reading? Chapter?
13.
Pardon?
Chapter 13.
1-3, yes? Text number? 34. Interesting, huh? When did Prabhupada arrive in New York? What day did he write the famous poem? What was that? Two famous poems, right? Can you remember those two poems? One was written on September the 13th. He left Calcutta on August the 13th. And he wrote the poem on September the 13th. And he arrived on September the 17th. Now, not only did Prabhupada first step foot in London on September the 11th, which is a famous day for Americans at least. Is that right? Was it 9th? 11th? 11-9? Is that right? Famous day for America. Some of you may have maybe remember that event. I don't know if you heard about it or not in Australia. I'm sure you did. You still hear about it now. Yeah, but the funny thing was, ironic thing, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he one time said, "Our mission is to tear down the Western civilization." Now, he didn't mean it physically, necessarily. Of course, that would follow in its wake. But to change the way of consciousness of the West away from gross materialism to spiritualism. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mission. To teach how to utilize everything, of course, in Krishna's service, not to reject it or destroy it. But it was quite an amazing experience when the Twin Towers came down on September 11th. What was it, 2001? 2001, those were historians, Americans, whatever. I'll never forget, I suppose. I was in Dublin, and the day before, and I left that very morning from Dublin on a plane. And it was, I didn't know about it till I arrived in Manchester, which was later in the year, because I had to go through Scotland. Somehow or another, I didn't get to know about it. So then what happened was, the day before the Twin Towers came down, we were in Dublin. And that was the day, that particular day on the Vaishnav calendar, it's a little different, a few days different. Was the day that Prabhupada arrived in Boston. The next day was the day, of course, when he compiled this poem, Markinay Bhagavad Dharma, and shortly after that left for New York on the boat. So when I arrived and we saw those Twin Towers coming down, I arrived in someone's house and they had the television on, and just that moment one tower was falling. And it was quite amazing. It just occurred to me that there's something more than just chance. It's 36 years to the day that Prabhupada went from Boston to New York to tear down the Western civilization. It was something prolific. Well, it struck me like that anyway. Of course, we can say, well, what's going on? But it was the same day that Prabhupada was in Boston to leave for New York. And they left from Boston, so they say, to New York, but their process of doing it is demoniac. The mentality of demons, where Srila Prabhupada's was to deliver, especially in New York, of course, at that time, to deliver the Western civilization, and which is going on imperceptible. Beautiful poem by Srila Prabhupada. You should read it regularly. The mood of Srila Prabhupada, which is, without absorbing that mood of Prabhupada, then we're unlikely to spread Krishna consciousness through us very, very effectively. This poem is perhaps the most important writing of Srila Prabhupada of all. In many ways, it's like the foundation of everything else. It behooves us, we'll read it. I wasn't intending to read it, but as you brought up that point, so we developed it. So we'll read it later on, if we have time. It's a wonderful poem. Markinay Bhagavad Dharma. It means preaching Krishna consciousness in America. Hare Krishna. When did Prabhupada first come to Melbourne? Loud and clear. 1971. Do you know the date? It should be well known. That day should be honored. Pardon? Well, it's a good idea to find out and honor it. You don't have to do it now. You don't have to do it now, Krishna Raja. Pardon? Is it there? It's right there, and still we can't remember. Isn't that amazing? Does anyone remember where their birthday? 18th of May. Well, now when did Prabhupada arrive in Melbourne? That's the question. Anyway, it's nice to find these things out. I'm sure there's a record in Kerma's book or something. That we generally, not always, but usually we remember our birthdays, which are really not very significant, to say the least. But you know, we usually even make a big thing of it. But significant events sometimes we let pass by, as if it's nothing important. I was in a temple last week, and there was no even a mention that it was Raghunath Das's, Raghunath Bhatta and Krishnadas Kaviraj's disappearance day. It wasn't even mentioned. It's a great shame we don't do this. In some ways it's an offence. But we mention our birthdays, Harry Bowl to you, and Christmas birthday cakes and all kinds of nonsense. But when it's real birthdays, real important days, we don't even know when they are. Don't worry. These days are actually so important to nurture. Bhaktivinoda describes them as Madhavatiti. Bhakti Janani. They're days, they're mothers of devotion, Bhakti Janani. They're nourisher, our devotional Greek, our Bhakti. He is nourished by observing these deities, these very special days of the appearance, disappearance of the great Acharyas who come in this world to help us, to take us back, to give their association. They're the most important days. Even if it's someone, Bhakreshwar Bhanit, or some personality we don't know much about, we should still recognize it and pray to them for their mercy. Very important. These are our gurus. If you have an initiating guru, what's that? I lost my thread. What was I saying? You probably celebrate or honor the appearance of one's initiating guru, I guess. But the siksha gurus are just as important. And we oftentimes don't think about it. We have a massive celebration for our diksha guru, and then insignificant for Rupa Goswami and so on. It's understood that there would be, you know, obviously more emphasis on one's own initiating guru, but it shouldn't be such a dichotomy or such a, you know, big gulf like this. These are our gurus. They're our eternal well-wishers, guides. Okay, we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:13-34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ikshita Vikramam Idam Manasa Vilasa Krishtam Vinashtam Atilolam Alata Chakram Vijnanam Ekam Urudeva Vibhati Maya Svapna Jidha Guna Visharga Vito Vikalpa. Ikshetha Vipramam Idam Manaso Vilasam.
Ikshetha Vipramam Idam Manaso Vilasam.
Drishtam Vinas Matilola Malata Chakram.
Vishnam Vinasam Matilola Malata Chakram.
Vinyanameka Murudeva Vibhati Maya.
Vinyanameka Murudeva Vibhati Maya.
Svapnastridhaguna Visarga Krito Vikalpaha.
Svapnastridhaguna Visarga Krito Vikalpaha.
Ikshetra vibram vidam manaso vilasam.
Ikshetra vibram vidam manaso vilasam.
Drishtam vinashtam atilolam alata chakram.
Drishtam vinashtam atilolam alata chakram.
Vijnanam ekam urudeva vibhati maya.
Vijnanam ekam urudeva vibhati maya.
Svatnastridaguna visharga krito vikalpaha.
Svatnastridaguna visharga krito vikalpaha.
Ikshetra vibhramam idam manaso vilasam.
Ikshetra vibhramam idam manaso vilasam.
Drishtam vinashtam atilolam alata chakram.
Drishtam vinashtam atilolam alata chakram.
Vijnanam ekam urudeva vibhati maya.
Vijnanam ekam urudeva vibhati maya.
Svatnastridaguna visarga krito vikalpaha.
Svatnastridaguna visarga krito vikalpaha.
Anyone like to chant?
Vinastam Adilola.
Ikshita.
Ikshita.
One should see
Vibhraman
as illusion or mistake. Idam, this material world. Manasaha, of the mind. Vilasam,
appearance or jumping.
Drishtam, here today.
Vinashtam,
gone tomorrow.
For
the famous in English, isn't it? Say, here today, gone tomorrow. It's life. Atilolam, extremely flickering. Alata chakram,
just like the moving red line.
Created by a fiery, a whirling, created by whirling, a fiery stick. Vigyan, the spirit soul, by nature fully conscious. Ekam is one, Guru Da, in many divisions. I wasn't Erdal, and I heard some of you say Erdal. We're fasting from Erdal. Talk about Erdal. Uruda. Erdal. Uruda. In many divisions. The Indian devotees, I think, are feeling terrible separation from Erdal.
Eva.
As if.
Vibhati.
Appears.
Maya.
This is illusion.
Svapnaha.
Merely a dream.
Tida.
In three divisions.
Guna.
Of the modes of nature.
Visarga.
By the transformation.
Kitaha.
Created.
Vikalpaha.
Variety of perception. Or imagination. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should see that the material world is a distinct illusion appearing in the mind, because material objects have an extremely flickering existence and are here today and gone tomorrow. They can be compared to the streaking red line created by whirling a fiery stick. The spirit soul by nature exists in the single state of pure consciousness. However, in this world he appears in many different forms and stages of existence. The modes of nature divide the soul's consciousness into normal wakefulness, dreaming, and dreamless sleep. All such varieties of perception, however, are actually maya and exist only like a dream. Purport. The Lord now describes an additional process. The purport is actually by Vidyananda Maharaj, I presume. The Lord now describes an additional process for transcending the illusory interaction of the material mind and material sense objects. An additional process. Lassa means jumping or dancing. And thus, manaso vilasam here indicates that the material mind is jumping superficially from one conception of life to another. Our logical consciousness, however, is one. Vijnanamekam. Therefore, one should carefully study the flickering, here today, gone tomorrow, nature of the material world, and detach oneself from the illusory varieties of Maya. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Well, talking about Srila Prabhupada's poems, which hopefully are being published, if not already published, as a separate book, separate text. It's supposed to be. In one of his poems, perhaps it was, I don't know, Vrindavan Bhajan, I'm not sure which one it was, but one of his poems, he was describing how the flickering nature of this material world, coming and going. Of course, when we are experiencing the, well, we could say the present, there's not really much experience of the present in this world because it's already passed by the time we experience it. But this world of past and future and time, when we kind of relate to every situation as being that's it, and you know our emotions and our hopes and fears and everything are pretty much influenced by that situation, and our intelligence is often bewildered by that situation to be able to analyze this sort of thing, or analyze, you know, the passing of time and our past experiences. Intelligence has generally forgotten those, and we don't have the conscious awareness to understand what's the purpose of going on with all of this and what the future will be and so on. Basically, we're in ignorance there. We're covered over by ignorance of what's going on, basically. When we're dreaming, that seems like a reality. When you're in the dream, and when you wake up, it seems like an illusion. And when we're awake, that seems like reality. And in another life form, it seems like an illusion. You know, we're basically in ignorance of what is actually happening. So Prabhupada is describing how the passing of time, how everything is taken away, all our relationships are just like bubbles, like foam on the ocean. It comes up and it's gone. And another wave comes up and more bubbles. That's the passing of time. It's like waves on the ocean. We ride the wave for a few years, like the happy surfers, and then the wave goes down, and then another wave, and another wave. And when one wave's gone, we wave goodbye to that and get on another wave. And we forget the previous wave, and we completely identify with the next wave as the absolute existence. And now I'm a dog, now I'm a man, now I'm an Aussie. No, I'm whatever, this or that, and then gone forevermore. And all the bubbles who bubbled around you, you become attached to, all those beautiful little bubbles that come out, that we nurture for a few moments, becoming very attached to also, everything gone in the course of time, crash. Where are they all now, Prabhupada said, simply named on the list. Where are my mother? Where are my father? Where are my relatives? There's nothing to show, just a name, list of names, all gone. And a lot of emotional disturbance due to our ignorance and intense attachment to the temporary forms or the temporary situations of this world. So verses like this are to help us to try to realize this here today, gone tomorrow principle. Srila Prabhupada talking about dancing, he mentioned also when he was in Jagannath Puri one time, that he remembered maybe 50 or 60 years earlier when he was a young man in Puri, how he was jumping in the waves. Some of you have been to Puri, and like also in Australia, you have these nice waves, like almost like surfing waves, coming in. And how young people, they love to jump in the waves and enjoy the effect of this experience. So Prabhupada also said when he was a young man, he was jumping in the waves, and now he can hardly walk. This is the course of time. And we know, of course, Maya is very clever, no matter what situation we're in. Prabhupada even says in hell, Maya makes it so, living entity thinks it's not actually so bad. Even in hell. After all, my boiling ghee is not as bad as their boiling ghee. You're stuck in the pot of boiling ghee. So the guy next to you, I've got a better pot of boiling ghee than they have. They're suffering more than me, I can see that. It's not so bad. Misery loves company. Get used to it after a while. You get used to anything after a while, practically. Same way it works. You can imagine you're in the body of a... We were watching some insects yesterday, just trying to reflect that maybe they're enjoying it. Maybe they're quite at home there, crawling around, eating this and that. Maybe, I don't know. But, you get used to anything. One, Krishna, to take birth as an insect, say, you deserve it. Maya makes it such that that's all you know. You're not thinking, oh my God, if only I could become a human being, an Aussie. If only I could become a human Aussie, I'd be happy. Why have I ended up as a cockroach? You don't think like that. That's all there is. Just like we have our enemies. We were looking at this bee yesterday. It's a beautiful, I like bees, little bee. And some people don't like them. Get away from here. Get that bee out of here. Scared of them. The poor bee is, look at it from the bee's point of view. Imagine if you went to the restaurant, and somebody's coming along with an enormous, like 50 times bigger than a swatter. Get out of here! Sweep you out back onto Swanson Street, out through the window. Wouldn't be a very pleasant experience. I just went there to have a little something to eat, and they just swept me out onto the street again with a 200-foot-long swatter. Squirted something at you. Got rid of that nasty creature. Time does it in different ways to all of us. They identify entirely, and they're just following, in the case of insect or animals, etc., they're just following the nature's way. They're not actually thinking of, let me go in there and disturb that human being. They're not thinking that. We're thinking like that. Let me disturb these ants and these creatures. Get them out of here. They're not thinking like that. They're just acting according to the nature they're conditioned by, and their job is accordingly. Let me go and, whatever they do, get the pollen, pollinate the plant, whatever it's called, and on with my business. And we're thinking, those pesky insects, get rid of them. Our mentality is countlessly worse than theirs. Even the mosquito is not thinking of causing us harm. It's coming thinking, there's my food. Let me have something to eat. And we're thinking, let me kill that monster. They don't even realize that we're, ouch. When you have a mosquito bite, oh, maybe I'll get malaria. Oh no. We're in so much anxiety, let me kill all the mosquitoes. They're not thinking like that. Get rid of those pesky flies. My father used to love swatting flies. He was a fly swatter. I used to open the windows as quickly as I could to let them out before he got there. I had to chase them out the window. But we don't really consider the situation from other people's point of view very often. They're also people. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, one time when he was in Mayapur, Mayapur, there's two seasons, the mosquito season and the fly season. Well, there's two times of the day, nighttime the mosquitoes and daytime the flies. One or the other, you choose which. But it was the daytime, so it was fly time. The flies were everywhere. So Bhakti Narayana Devota trying to keep them off of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj in Mayapur. And he said, "Leave them alone. Leave them alone," he said. He said, "They are residents of the Dham. I am an outsider. I am becoming purified by the touch of their feet." That's what he said. "I am an outsider. They are coming to purify me. Leave them alone." Yeah, of course you have to common sense in these areas. But it's, nonetheless, we should be conscious that they do have. Also, they are alive. They have their rights. Every living entity has his rights. But human life is a life of responsibility. We're not supposed to just exploit the other living entities. We're supposed to protect them and act in a way to help them to evolve. But if we're behaving worse than they are, then there's not much hope for us, really speaking, to advance jiva himsa. We forget this. We talk a lot about nama aparad and vaishnava aparad. But there's also jiva aparad, which is something we don't often talk about. But that's also a cause of our curtailing our spiritual advancement when we act or think in an offensive way towards other living entities, insensitive to their existence, just squirt them to death, etc. Anyway, that wasn't the topic really we were coming on to, but this is the side line. And when we're in that body, that's all in all. We think that this is me. And all that counts is me and the bubbles around me. And I'll burst all the bubbles that I don't want if they get in the way. We'll just burst them. Get them out of the way. They're interfering with our dance, with our program. So the nature of the illusion soul. We see everyone else in terms, and everything else in terms of an object of my sense gratification. And if it doesn't give me sense gratification, it's not of any use. Just get rid of it. So this is the unfortunate situation of this world. So there has to be changed. And of course this whole section of Bhagavatam, 11th canto, particularly philosophical understanding of these things and how to philosophically approach it and deal with it and change it. Change, first of all, as we heard yesterday, change your own consciousness, not everyone else's. We're usually very keen to change everything and everybody around us except for me. The problem is this, the problem is that. The problem is them. The problem is so many things. But there's no real problem as such in one sense. It's how we, as we heard yesterday, how we perceive it. So this philosophy is supposed to change our perception from illusion to reality. Bhagavatam particularly, the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, to distinguish illusion from reality. And there's no such teaching in modern society. Their so-called reality is another form of illusion, that's all. It's just another aspect of illusion. And someone else will come along with a better illusion, and it will be changed again. We'll have a little entertainment. I was going to read a lot of things this morning. I don't know, last minute. I haven't planned anything, but it's last minute stuff. Okay. Oh, there's two relevant poems here we have. Insects. As we were talking about insects just now. This is a very, you can say, unedited, rough and ready poem, which not written by myself, someone else, even rougher if I read it. Okay. Here's a lesson they should teach in school. It's really quite simple. Killing things is cruel. Listen one by one to my cute insect friends, and I hope by this method that the cruelty ends. Hello, I'm Laura. I'm a ladybird. And here are a few things you may not have heard. Every living being, human, fish, bird, or mole, has one thing in common. They each are a soul. They have different bodies, different methods of birth. They all have a life to live on this earth. I'm Billy the Bee, and I'm commonly seen buzzing around, finding food for my queen. I fertilize flowers and help crops to grow. So just realize I'm a friend, not a foe. I don't want to sting you, for I instantly die. So please don't attack me, just let me fly by. Caterpillar. Some of the words are a little funny. I came from an egg. My next stage is, I don't know what that is, poop. Then a bright butterfly isn't nature. No, pooper. My next stage is pooper. Then a bright butterfly isn't nature, just super. There's a line this time, I missed it. I'm George, I'm a beetle. I sing and I dance. And all I am saying is give peace a chance. If we give love, we get love. It soon becomes habit. For this final thought, here's Jerry the Rabbit. Be good to yourself and to each other. Think of all creatures as your sister and brother. If you cause other beings any suffering and pain, you'll suffer yourself and take birth again. So stay away from the burgers, chicken nuggets, rabbit stew. Live a life kind to all, without further ado. And here's another one, actually, back to back. The Dawkin Delusion. Have you heard of Mr. Dawkin? Have you heard of him? Yes. Who's heard of Mr. Dawkin? Mr. Hawkins also. Hawkins and Dawkins. Hogs and dogs. And they're both very prominent in the world today in putting people in illusion. They both are very empowered illusionists. My name is Richard Dawkin. I wrote The God Delusion. Something happened last week that caused me some confusion. My wife, I don't know what that means, I think that's not a very nice word anyway. I'm not sure. As I said, rough and ready. My wife fecked off, my car got nicked, and I was diagnosed with piles. A power surge hit my PC and wiped out all my files. Does God exist? The answer is no, till I walked into a door. The edge caught me in the groin and I fell down on the floor. While all these things were going on, I shouted out, "Oh God!" And with me being an atheist, that was really very odd. Us scientists are so brainy, we pity you nincompoops. The universe was not created, but began in the primordial soups. It started with a big bang, an explosion without an explanation. There was fire and smoke and radiation, a dodgy situation. Then something moved, something stirred in the protoplasmic crud, and lo and behold, just by magic, they crawled out of the mud. They were Brontosaurus, Stegosaurus, Tyrannosaurus, Dilophosaurus. I lost my rhyming dictionary, so we're back into the chorus. They were big and nasty, had small brains. They were gross. They'd stamp around, make a mess, they'd bite your ass if they got close. As I said, the language is a bit rough and ready. But anyway, try to understand it's coming from Parashuram. The dinosaurs turned into monkeys, climbed up the trees, and then the clever ones climbed down and turned into cavemen. The cavemen left their caves and tools made of rock. Bought a PC, went online and moved into an apartment block. I hope you all learned something from this dialogue about Charles Darwin, Big Bang, dinosaurs, caveman, and this frog. So the final conclusion is by Mr. Frog. Richard Dawkins, I'm your brother. Everything you say is true. Your great-grandfather swam in the primordial stew. Like you, I haven't seen God. When I looked around my pond, I searched for God in the weeds, in the mud, in the crap, and just beyond. I live under a rock, and God was just not there. I searched the bottom of a pond till I had to come up for some air. Richard, you're my guru, my teacher, my hero, my God. You give so much enlightenment to this lowly frog. Jai. Richard Dawkins, ki jai. I guess you could call it small time philosophers or illusionists, delusionists, whatever you want to call it. But there's very little understanding of the nature of life, really. And anyway, it's just little light-hearted things. We'll read Prabhupada's poem now and see how we've seen how the scientists approach it all. It's just a mechanical situation of evolution or whatever it may be, trying to even make consciousness some mechanistic creation of chemical combinations or something. And so where possibly can there be compassion or real love? It's only lust, only in the sense of gratification. They're very busy enjoying that, of course, even though they sometimes bring everything down to some, you know, say some very much materialistic conclusion. So this is about Prabhupada's poem. We read the English. This is on board the Jaladuta on September the 18th, 1965. My Lord Krishna, Prabhupada said, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most people think of America or something as the dream world. They work all their lives, and oftentimes whenever, sometimes people know you're from the West or something. Many times, especially in India, people come up to, please help me to get the green card. They're praying for the green card. They go to the temple and they pray for the green card. That means American entry permit or something. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. This is Maya's covering. Makes us think we're happy, even though we've got a broken leg, this, that, the other, sometimes. I'm fine. Sometimes people say, yes, I'm fine. In another poem, Prabhupada says, that is their fine. You can take it the other way, they're paying their fine in that situation. As long as you think you're satisfied in this world, then there's not much incentive to get out of it. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. By your mercy, how will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I'm simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. Now that doesn't mean that Krishna wants us to be an illusion. We can't come under the illusion of the material energy unless Krishna arranges it. It's not within our power. We may feel aversion towards Krishna, but to experience a life separate from Krishna is not within our grasp. It's only by the grace of Krishna, because you want it. Therefore he arranges certain atmospheres where one forgets Krishna and identifies with the material body as the self. So that's his will in the sense, by his will, the material energy is created to facilitate our desire. Otherwise we wouldn't be able to facilitate it. There's nowhere in the spiritual world you can facilitate aversion to Krishna. Enter into the Brahma Jyoti, but that's another aspect. But in the spiritual planets, there's no such facility. So naturally, it would be unbearable. How much unbearable it would be. In a situation where you're averse to Krishna, but everyone around you is glorifying him and everything is directed towards him. Krishna doesn't do that. Therefore, he places us in this situation. He will, but his will. The material energy is created and the living entities are placed there according to their desire. If you like, I wish that you may deliver them also. If you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. Of course, Krishna can do that. But he generally doesn't interfere with the independence of the living entity. They want to remain in this dream? All right, carry on. Sometimes you want to wake someone, they don't want to wake up. What can you do? really nice sound. Prabhupada has that story one time of one man who was cleaning the chandeliers for the king. It was a king. All of a sudden, as he was cleaning it, one of the beads of glass crashed to the ground and smashed. He was terrified. He thought, oh no, the king will have my life for this. The king came running in and said, what was that? What was that? And he was terrified. And he saw, he was terrified. He said, you did that? Yes. Do it again. The king said, this is a wonderful sound. Keep doing it. He liked the sound of the little beads of glass smashing on the floor. Sometimes like that. Interesting sound. So then Srila Prabhupada, see Krishna, although he doesn't enforce or impose, he's always offering the living entities a chance to get deliverance. He comes himself, he has scripture and so on. But primarily it's his devotees who deliver the conditioned souls. Although he doesn't want them, in one sense, to come into this world in one sense, become disturbed by the craziness of this world, the madness of people in this world. Truly mad, in one sense. We're also sometimes, not that we go around tell everyone they're mad or something. We've got to communicate. And it's difficult communicating, it's like a different language almost. Very hard. You have no conception of anything outside their well. It's very difficult to discuss it. So one has to work within the well and gradually help people to become well. To take the little opportunities of Krishna consciousness within their well. That's like we have wonderful restaurants in Swanson Street are doing such enormous service for helping people to become Krishna conscious. Extremely important program. And as much as we can, same like with Harinam Sankirtan, any way that we communicate somewhere or another within their well or their illusion, a connection with Krishna even without their real knowledge. This is the great fortune. And there's a wonderful purport actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in regards to Lord Chaitanya's pastime for Shivananda Sen and the dog. When Shivananda Sen was dog was delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was actually by the mercy of Shivananda Sen. And Srila Prabhupada writes there somewhere or another, if someone could become a dog of a Vaishnava, he's guaranteed deliverance. But then Prabhupada goes on saying that if one gets the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord, one is guaranteed deliverance. So Prabhupada was saying, I hope, he said, my hope is that all my disciples shall become pure devotees, so that by their wish alone, by their desire alone, all the living entities of the universe will be delivered even without their knowledge. This is possible. Vasudeva Datta did it. We're not Vasudeva Datta, of course not. Everyone was delivered because they're not the body. It doesn't mean the body is delivered, the soul. And other living entities then immediately occupy those bodies. This is the inconceivable nature of mercy. A pure devotee's mercy far outweighs all other considerations. So if they desire all living entities' deliverance, they can be delivered. As like we mentioned on the Sunday feast yesterday, someone asked a question about Harinam. And we just mentioned one point when Prabhupada was in San Francisco. I don't think many of you were here for the Sunday feast yesterday. So Prabhupada mentioned that Prabhupada said in San Francisco in 1970 after the Ratha Yatra. It was amazing. Ratha Yatra in those days, mostly hippies. There were hardly any Indians there. I mean, red Indians. No, I don't mean, I mean Indian devotees, Indian people from India. Not the red Indians. Neither, very few of them were there. Mostly all hippies. And they were not there either, they were all intoxicated. God knows where they were. They were in some other dimensions. And most of them probably were intoxicated on LSD or M or something like that. And thousands of them gathered there in Golden Gate Park. And Prabhupada was giving the lecture. And there's nobody said, it's there in the folio, you can read it. He said, oh, I can't say it word for word, but the essence of it. He said, all you young men and women who come here today and who have seen Lord Jagannath on this Rathyatra cart, next lifetime, he said, you are going back to Godhead. Next lifetime. They don't know what on earth is going on. I mean, I've been able to hear it. Probably many of them couldn't hear a word that was going on. But Prabhupada assured them they were all going back to Godhead in the next lifetime. What can we say? It doesn't necessarily mean in every situation that will be the case, but Prabhupada gave that special benediction at that time. They may have been intoxicated, died under intoxication, who knows what it means exactly, but the mercy of the spiritual master is rest assured that his wish will come to pass, because Krishna, there's one thing Krishna has to do. He's Bhaktivatsala, he has to do what his devotees desire. He has to fulfill their desire, he's obligated. He's completely obligated, he's controlled by the love of his devotees. Prabhupada is so dear, as you know, and Narada Muni, when he went to, in great anxiety, to source out what is the hope of people in this age of Kali, and eventually when he arrived in Goloka Vrindavan and had the darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu there in Goloka Vrindavan. But the Lord assured him that, don't worry, I will soon be appearing in this golden form to deliver all the living entities from their sinful lives and bring them to Krishna consciousness. And even if they escape from my Sankirtan mission and try to go to foreign lands, I will send Morsenapati Bhakta, my chief field commander, to deliver them from their ignorance. And he will go all over the world and he will distribute this Sankirtan. And with the chopper of Sankirtan, he said, I will destroy all of their sinful reactions and even their sinful behavior with the chopper of Sankirtan. It's a great chopper, the chanting and dancing of the holy names. He will distribute love of God in every direction. So I will send more Sainapati Bhakta to go everywhere to fulfill this business. And again, when Gangadevi went to see Lord Krishna in Dwarka, how distressed Gangadevi was with the impending arrival of Kali Yuga. She was so disturbed about the prospect of people coming to bathe in her waters just to dump their sinful reactions. As if she's some kind of dumping ground or something. So she wanted to disappear. She thought, what is the point of this? I don't want this. So Krishna said, don't worry, you will get relief from this unfortunate situation. Don't worry, because I am sending also Mantra Uparshaka. I am sending my worshipper of the name. He will be also appearing shortly in the world. And he will travel around the world and he will convert, or he will deliver souls of this world to pure devotional service, and they will come from all parts of the world and they will bathe in your water and you will be delivered, you will be happy. In this way Prabhupada's arrival was predicted. Also about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are many predictions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was writing about how the Sankirtan will spread all over the world and there will be Ekavarna. Varna. This is the only real Varna for Kali Yuga, Sankirtan. Other things can be done and they help, but they have to support the execution of Sankirtan, otherwise they're useless. Just making arrangements for accommodating our nature and so on is no value. The animals are doing that without any ado. That's not the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life is God realization. And particularly in this age, the purpose is to become absorbed in Sankirtan. If we're not becoming absorbed in Sankirtan, because it may take time, and understanding the broader dimension of Sankirtan. But in principle, the most important aspect of sankirtan is the chanting of the holy names. Everything else we do, the erection of temples, opening restaurants, distribution of books, activities, giving the fruits of our work, and so many other activities which are all very wonderful and important, worshipping the deities, are all aimed towards increasing the execution of sankirtan yoga. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj has described how of all the aspects of sadhana bhakti, that the chanting, congregational chanting, uses the word congregational chanting, is the emperor of all sadhana. And he actually defines sadhana means that activity which helps us to increase our chanting. And if it doesn't, he said it doesn't deserve to be called sadhana at all. It is the only infallible means of perfection in this age of Kali. The only infallible means of perfection. So what we're doing is, everything is important. It should be done very nicely. It's wonderful. But it is to prepare the way so that we enter into this sankirtan yoga. Chanting the holy names. Delivering the conditioned soul. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur described this as Ekavarna in one of his poem or writings. And how he predicted that the day will come when all over the world, in the cities of the Western world, that everybody would be dancing in the street, raising flags and playing madungas and so on, chanting Jai Sachinanda, chanting the holy names, and they will come to India and they will embrace their Indian brothers, and they will, you know, we have also accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, bringing unity, true unity, when we put Krishna in the centre, the holy name in the centre. And he said the day will very soon come. This was penned around about 1888 or something, I don't know. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appeared in 1874. So he said, so it only appeared at least 12 to 15 years earlier. And he said, very soon a person will appear in this world who will fulfill this prediction. Very soon. So we can also understand, some people say, of course, it can be applied obviously to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. But it seems to be, from every logical point of view, referring to another personality. Another personality. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, don't worry, he'll do it all himself later on. Leave him alone, the time will come. Prabhupada had so many instructions from his guru Maharaj to take up this mission. Of course others did too, but Prabhupada did it. Anyone could have done it, they say, but they didn't do it. Prabhupada oftentimes quoted that quote of Columbus, Christopher Columbus, when he, well, they say he discovered America. It was already there, actually, believe it or not. But anyway, they say he discovered it. People didn't believe it. And eventually they were convinced, and everyone said, all right, anyone could have done that. That's not a big achievement. What's big about that? He didn't do it. He said, okay, here's an example. Stand an egg on its end. An egg. You know, eggs? I hope you don't eat them. Stand them on their end. Nobody could do it. So what's the point of this? What are you trying to tell us? They said, can you do it? So Christopher Columbus took the egg and he said, all right, I'll do it. He took the egg, he took a spoon, tap, tap on the end of the spoon. Made a little straight piece on the end of the spoon and stood it up. Oh, everybody said, anyone could have done that. But you didn't do it. That's the difference. It's all very well saying anyone could do it, but you've got to do it. In this material world, we have a great opportunity. A great opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada. Helping others to come out of the dream-like world. Here today, gone tomorrow. Let us try to give something which is not here today, gone tomorrow. Let us also not try to be like the firefly or the firebrand who's spinning around like this. But let us try to be fixed in our devotional service and assist Prabhupada in trying to spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness in the world today. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And we shouldn't forget this, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in everyone's heart and a benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion and ignorance and lust and desire disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Thus established in goodness, the man rejuvenated by loving service to the Lord gains liberation from material association and comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of action, karma, is terminated when one sees the Supreme Self as Master. We should also, I was thinking of this morning, I was reading something last night in Bhagavad Gita which kind of triggered something off. The thinking is that we are not like, we're part and parcel of God. We're all part and parcel of Mami Vamsajiva Lokajiva Bhutta Sanatana. Doesn't mean we are God. We're a particular part and parcel which is the servitor form of God. But God, the servant form, is also with us. They're never separated. They're never separated. And when we make our decisions what to do, we should always take in consideration the other person who's there in our heart. We're two, not one. Bear in mind what he wants too. Super soul. It's in the heart. We're two people, but we're not care less about what he wants, only what I want. We're both, he's travelling with us too. He will become liberated. The soul will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, unless all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or another, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, my Lord. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most insignificant, unfortunate beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, September 1865, in Boston. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll carry on, I suppose, with what we were going to talk about today, tomorrow, or some other time, if Krishna allows. We weren't going to discuss any of these things today, but something that came up. Are there any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Maharaj, should we accept that Vasudeva, like Vasudeva is God, God is desire, that illuminates his world is there?
Sorry about that. I heard Vasudeva desire.
He's talking about Vasudeva Dhamma. And he said that by his desire, did you think? that phase to go, all the little entities were removed, and then other little entities immediately came into the
group. That's what it says in the Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. They were all delivered. Whether they were delivered there and then, or whether they were delivered at the end of their life, that is not mentioned. But it said they were all delivered, and all the dormant living entities will immediately fill the universe up again. There are countless dormant living entities awaiting their turn to come to consciousness and then to begin their, you know, say their business in this material. So they immediately fill up all the spaces. So exactly, I mean, that's inconceivable how many living entities there are in the universe, but as the Lord Chaitanya said, he told him that. Just by your will, he said, it's not necessary for you to stay here for eternity and suffer the reaction. By your will alone, they will be delivered. Exactly how, the mechanics are not mentioned, but the Lord said that there will be immediately the universe will be filled up again. Inconceivable, but, you know, everything's inconceivable when you look at it in reality. From the illusory point of view, it remains ever beyond one's ability to perceive. Scientists cannot possibly reach the end of their efforts to understand things. They'll never reach the end. Try for the rest of Kali Yuga, they will still not come to the conclusion to answer anything, really. So, obviously, inconceivability is the actual nature of God. It cannot be conceived by our material comparative study. It's His mercy. Who knows what's going on now? We don't know. We just hope that everyone's getting spiritually benefited, at least, in the world today. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Venkata Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.